Praise the Lord. I like the way you boys have been singing lately. Sounds like you've got Jesus in your heart, doesn't it? That's always a blessing. Someone said to Gypsy Smith, sing from your diaphragm. Project your voice. He said, sir, if you don't mind, I'll just keep singing from my heart. You know, I like to hear people sing from the heart, don't you? I'd like you to take the word of God, please, and turn to the first of the gospel records, the gospel according to Matthew, and we'll begin in just a moment. In Matthew chapter 19 with verse 27. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 27. My dear old pastor Dillard Hagin told me when God called me to preach, he said, now Clarence, don't take on these big subjects that take lots of room and time to cover them. Learn a little to narrow your message down so that you can get specifically to the point. I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. So I want to speak to you on the faith life, which subject is as big as God and all of humanity. But we must make it personal. So why don't I say your faith life? And if it's not too much, my faith life. The only Christian life we live is the faith life we live. The only life we have, everything else is just existence and an imitation of life, is the eternal life we receive when we receive the eternal one, the Lord Jesus Christ, as our Savior. But what about our faith? I want you to look with me, please, in Matthew chapter 19, beginning with verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have, therefore? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. Now I'm tempted to bring a series of messages on the little word and. How many of you can remember that I preached a sermon on killing the kings of Canaan and finally got to the and in Joshua's life? God said, Joshua, you're old and well stricken in age. And then God said in the same verse, that's right, Joshua, you're old and well stricken in age. But he didn't say yet. He said, and. There remained yet much land to be taken. And here in this 29th verse, God makes all these promises, all the rich blessings, 100-fold. You can't get that interest anywhere. Right? Dr. Prescott, nowhere. No one can pay that kind of interest. But God does. And shall inherit everlasting life. But if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I want you to mark this expression. I'm certain that Peter is now embarrassed about it. I'm certain of that. The Bible says, behold, Peter said unto him, behold, he's speaking now for everybody, one person speaking for everybody, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have, therefore? In other words, Lord, what are we going to get out of this? Peter, as you know, had a fishing business with his brother. And Andrew was his brother. They were in the fishing business with their partners, James and John. Jesus came to them on the north of the Galilee and said, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." They left their nets, their boats, and followed the Lord. I don't know what was going on, the entirety of it. I know some scene that Peter saw that stirred his heart that prompted him to say this, but it must have been getting pretty rough. And Peter said, "Now, I've been thinking about this, Lord. What are we going to get out of all of this?" I don't know if you've ever put the words exactly like that to the Lord, but I'm sure that any Christian who's followed the Lord for a while has thought, "Where's all this going to take me? What are the benefits?" People write songs about it. Sermons are preached about it. If you'll notice in the context of this particular question, a rich young ruler, we call him, had come to Jesus. Look at it, please, in the 16th verse of the 19th chapter. "And behold, one came and said unto him, 'Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?' And he said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God.'" So he's saying, if you're calling me good, are you recognizing me as God? We know that Jesus Christ is God, co-equal, co-existent, eternally existent with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. He is God who became a man without ceasing to be God. So he's asking him the question. "But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." He saith unto him, notice please, "which," Jesus said, "thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And the young man said unto him, "All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lackest I yet?" And Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, evidently, the disciples were close enough, not necessarily to hear the conversation, every word of it, but to see this taking place. They saw the confrontation he had with Christ. They saw Christ answering him. And then they watched him walk away, keeping everything he had, giving up nothing, and walked away. And the Bible goes on to tell us the story. And the word of God says, "Then answered Peter and said unto him, 'Behold, we have forsaken all. We've given up everything and followed thee. What shall we have, therefore?'" What shall we have? I believe that question moved the heart of Christ. Peter was stirred. And the Lord is going to answer his question. And when he answers his question, he answers it for everyone. He answers the question for you and for me. He answers it. Peter wanted to see what could not be seen. I want you to hold your place here and turn with me to the book of Hebrews just for a moment. We have the explanation of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And verse 1, that'll do for now. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." We've got to believe in things we haven't seen. Do you believe in things you haven't seen? I love my wife. I met her when she was in 10th grade in high school. She's the prettiest thing I ever looked at. I've told you the story so many times. I might even tell it again sometime soon because I'd enjoy telling it so much. But I love her. And she loves me. She told one of her girlfriends when I was in 10th grade she was going to marry me. I didn't want any other chance, but what chance did I have after that? Finally, I chased her till she caught me. And we got married young, and our love has grown, and I love her. I love her family members. I was just with her brother and mother. I love them. I love our children. My wife and I have been blessed with two sons. I love their wives. Both of them married to beautiful Christian girls. I love them. I love my grandchildren. I have two granddaughters and four grandsons, and I truly, truly love them. I can't imagine anything I wouldn't do for them. I love them with a deep, abiding love. I loved my mother. I was devoted to my mother. She's with Jesus now, but I love her memory. I love to think of her and all the things she did in sacrificial ways to help me when I was just a boy growing up. But I'm going to tell you something. There is someone that I love more than my wife, more than my children, even more than my grandchildren. I could describe my grandchildren. I could tell you what they look like, what color their eyes are. I could describe my boys and tell you what they look like, lots of detailed things about them. I certainly could describe Evelyn to you. I said to her the other day, just look at me for a minute. She said, what for? I said, I just want to see your beautiful brown eyes and stare into them just for a few moments. It embarrassed her. I'm glad it did. I could describe her. But the person I love more than my wife, more than my children, more than my grandchildren, I have never seen. Never seen. And he's real. But I've never seen him. I love him, though I've never seen him. Someday I shall look upon him. That means the last day of my life on this earth will be the greatest day of my life. It will be the day I see the one I love most for the first time, face to face. I'll see Jesus. Now, Jesus is standing here with his disciples, and they've watched this scene unfold. Would this rich young ruler walk away keeping everything? He had everything now but Christ. So Peter just couldn't stand it any longer. And he said to the Lord, I saw him walk away. Jesus knows what he's thinking. We left our boats and families and all the fishing equipment and nets. I want to know, what do we get for that? And Jesus tells him a story, a parable. Now, if you study the Bible, you learn when you're studying parables, you don't try to make a parable stand on all four legs. There's one great lesson that God teaches in every parable. You may make applications for it, but you could get removed from sound doctrine trying to make every part of a parable teach something, because the story is given by the Lord, these parables of Jesus, to point to one great thing. This is not about salvation, the Lord's telling this parable. It's about the Christian life, and it's about the faith life. And I want to listen to it, and I want you to listen to it. I want God to speak to our hearts, because he's answering Peter's question. And by the time he answers Peter's question, Peter's going to be so ashamed that he ever asked it. And by the time he answers Peter's question, you and I are going to understand one thing. One thing. So the Bible says in verse 30 of chapter 19, but many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Now we know all this goes together in answer to Peter's question, because you get to chapter 20, And verse 16, and the Bible says in this other bookend, so the last shall be first, and the first last, for many are called, but few chosen. Are you ready, Peter? I'm going to answer your question. You said, what shall we have therefore? And the Lord Jesus said, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into the harvest. I want you to mark the word agreed in verse 2. Very important. Because they would not go until they knew what they were going to get paid. They weren't going to faith anything or anybody. They had to negotiate, make a deal, be assured if we go, this is what we'll get. So when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And went out about the third hour. And the Jews had a 12-hour day from 6 in the morning, 6 in the evening. So this is 9 o'clock in the morning, the third hour. And saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. No negotiating, no questions asked. He just said, whatever's right, you trust me for it. And the Bible says they went their way. Again, verse 5, he went out about the sixth hour, that's noontime, and the ninth hour, that's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and did likewise. He said, whatever's right, I'll give you. And so they've gone out to work early in the morning, at noontime, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, that's at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, with 1 hour left, about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? I mean, the work day started at 6 in the morning, and here you are 11 hours later, and you haven't done anything. But in his mercy, he let them go to work at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And the Bible says in verse 7, they say unto him, because no man hath hired us, he saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatever is right, that shall ye receive. Now, Peter, you asked the question. You said, we're following you. We have forsaken all and followed you. What shall we have, therefore? Are you listening, Peter? So when even was come, verse 8, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. Now there's a line, a labor line. Look at it, please. There's a labor line all lined up from the first all the way to the last. And the Bible says, look how the line is. Give them their hire, beginning from the last until the first. So the first person near the steward was the person who went to work at 5 o'clock. Behind that person was the laborer who went at 3 o'clock, went at noon, went at 9 o'clock. They're all lined up now. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. So the people that went to work with just 1 hour to work, this is what they got. But when the first came, those are people who worked all day, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. They've been watching, by the way, they're at the back of the line, and they've been watching everybody go to the steward and get, they're trying to find out what did he get, and what did they get, and what did they get, and what did they get. They're pretty sure they know what everybody else has gotten. they figured when they got there after working all day, they're going to get more, the Bible says. But every man got a penny. Verse 11, and when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house. Now these are the people that said, we agreed to work all day. We're going to work all day, and we're going to work all day for what we've agreed to. No faith, no trust. We must know by sight what we're going to get. And these are the people who are murmuring and complaining. So they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Notice what the Bible says in verse 2 of chapter 20. And when he had agreed with the laborers, he reminds them, didn't we have an agreement? Isn't that the only way you wanted to work? If you knew what you were going to get? Isn't that it? Now, take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. You know, we're captivated by things, big things, bigger things. And I remind you that Jesus said the kingdom of God doesn't come with observation. You might want to write the verse down, Luke 17:20. And when he had was demanded the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. You can't size up the kingdom of God like how big is the building, how large is the crowd. It just doesn't work that way with God. It depends on your faithfulness to him and his faithfulness to you. And the word of God says, listen to these verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perisheth, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Verse 18 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. We look at the things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What do you think Peter's thinking? He asked the question. He said, I want to know where my life is going and everything you're going to do. I want to know what I'm going to get out of this. I've measured what I've given to you, and I want to measure what you're going to give to me for what I've given to you. And Jesus told him this story. Doesn't work that way. Is it not right for me to do what I will with my own? What was he saying? You either live the Christian life by faith, knowing that God will always do right, or you don't live the Christian life at all. It must be lived by faith, or it's not going to be lived at all. So I ask the question of myself first. Am I doing what I'm doing with the idea that I'll do what I do so I can get from God certain things? Or have I come to the place of faith in God, knowing who He is, that I'm serving the Lord because I love Him and I know that the God of all the earth will do right? That's the message we have to get in our hearts. And that's the life, the faith life we have to live. Let's bow in prayer together, may we?